to receive. That's purpose. We have to renew our minds to think about purpose the way God thinks about purpose. Because what we, most of us, have been trained to think our purpose is the exercising of our skills. That our purpose is related to our skill set. And that's just what you do. That's not your purpose. See, I can go to work every day and work hard and do a great job, exercise my gifts and talents, and be totally out of my purpose. Or never have purpose mean anything. What I do never means anything because I'm just pouring it out. I'm not doing it according to my design. I'm not doing it in a way with an end point in mind. What is my end? My work is given to me as an opportunity to exercise the second question. And the second question reveals potential. So potential is hidden abilities. Every individual is a seed of potential. Every person sitting in this room is a seed of potential. Your life is a seed of potential. What you are is a seed of potential. And every seed grows when put into the right environment. Seeds that are not in the right environment struggle to grow. We first bought our house 18 years ago. I saw these plants and I would say, oh man, this is a great looking plant. I love this plant. I'm gonna put these plants right in my front yard. And I picked all these different plants, but this one plant I got, I said, man, I love this plant. So I put these plants out and we read all of the cards. Please, y'all, don't overplant your gardens. Read the cards, please. So I read, got my spacing right, got my plant I put down in the ground, got my watering system all down there, and the plants are nice, but the one plant I really wanted to grow, actually, there was two of them, but this one, I put it there right next to my driveway. Got it there. Every other plant around has grown. That plant was supposed to be like 3 feet tall, and it's still just like it looks 18 years, it still looks like I just pulled it out the pot. I got that thing planted, and I've been trying to nurture that thing for 18 years. People have had kids and grown up and gone off to college. I'm still trying to nurture this little plant out the ground. He's not doing nothing. He's in the wrong place. I planted him in the wrong spot. And so he's in there struggling. He's hanging on. He won't die off, but he just ain't doing nothing. He's just sitting there, just doing nothing. All the other plants, we got to cut them back. We got to keep them in size because they're almost overgrown. Then I have another plant. I got this little rock riverbed, and I like the way this plant looks. I said, I'm going to put this one right here. I stuck him in the ground. This is going to look perfect because I'm making my design. I got my little riverbed, got my river rocks, and I found a big giant boulder on the street, right? They were doing construction, so they pulled this big old boulder. I got it. I went and got me a wheelbarrow, and I carried that rock. Carried it down the street, down a hill with a wheelbarrow, big old giant rock. And actually, right now, it's actually three rocks because it fell off my – it fell off and split. So it's three nice medium-sized rocks instead of the one big boulder I thought I was going to have. But I'm working on my design. I got it all in mind. I got it planned. I got to know exactly how I want it, Ed, just how I want it. Got it set. I'm going to put this big rock here. Oh, man, the rock broke. Okay, I'm not going to waste the pieces. Put this rock. Oh, now, well, this is even better. I got three rocks. Now, I put my plant down there. Plant grew for like 2 years. Got big. And then all of a sudden, it just died. It just, no warning, it just started turning black, and it died. I didn't change anything. All of a sudden, it just went. I'm like, what happened? Once again, I got a plant in the wrong place. And because it's in the wrong place, it's planted somewhere, but it's not planted where its potential can be fulfilled. It's not in a place where its actual purpose can really be fulfilled because it's out of place. It's in a position where the soil is not helping it. The soil is actually hindering it. Where the very presence of where it is actually the thing that's actually destroying it. Because it's not designed to be in that place. And so when we talk about potential, most of the time, we gauge our potential by our employment. So we go to work and we begin working. And then we start gauging our potential based on what we do. And sometimes if you get put in the wrong ground, you will start to believe that you're in the right ground, but you're just not meant to grow. Sometimes when you're out of position, you'll be planted somewhere and you'll first start recognizing this is not the right place, but you stay there long enough and all of a sudden, next thing you know, you go, I guess I'm not meant to grow. I guess everybody was right. I guess I'm not that smart. I guess everybody's right. I guess that's all I'm supposed to do. I guess I'm right. There is a glass ceiling. I guess they're right. They don't like black people. I guess they're right. Whatever it is, if we're in the wrong place, it will cause us to be stifled. And that stifling will eventually overwhelm us. And so we have to be of the mind of recognizing that when you give your life to God, your life in Christianity ought to make you more aware of your potential, not less aware. When we become religious, we start to. But that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. I have a purpose for you. My purpose is that you have life and that you have it more abundantly, which means not dialing down, but dialing up. You should be dialing up. You should be seeing God move more. You should be seeing God give you more ideas. You should be seeing God give you more understanding. I'm praying that the eyes of your understanding be flooded with enlightenment. A Christian who knows God and is dedicating their life ought to be one of the most creative people around. Why? Because if we get ourselves into the secret place with God and we begin to become people of prayer, people who are spending one-on-one time with God, God says, call on me and I will answer you and I will show you great and mighty things that you don't even know. I will reveal to you things that you don't understand. I will show you things. I will show you things. I will show you things. God says, I will show you things. Your potential is not limited to your age. Your potential is not limited to your culture. Your potential is not limited to your, quote, IQ. Your potential is not limited to anything except your ability to believe God. That is the only thing that holds you back. We went to this conference and we were sitting there and a lady was speaking. She got up and she said, and she was just talking in general. She's had a very nice speech she had. But her opening statement was, everybody in this room is a billionaire. And of course, everybody goes, oh, yeah. They get all the excitement about that. Yeah, yeah. And she goes, no, you really are. And then she began talking about the reality of the principle of the richness that's in the body of Christ. And she began talking about the reality that if God gives you an idea, if God reveals his purpose to you, God has also with purpose also revealed provision for how it works. But we view provision as in possession rather than viewing provision as what does God have available. See, we're worried about whether we have this or have that. Jesus said this, telling his disciples, I'm talking about abundant life. I'm talking about this. I'm talking about my Father's doing this and doing that for me. And then they said, where do you live? He said, foxes have holes, but I don't even have a place to live. I don't have a place to live. I don't need a place to live. You know why? Because there are 5,000 people who are coming to listen to me to speak. And you know what? I'm not begging all 5,000 of them to give me something. What I'm going to do is I'm going to feed them. I got 12 people with me. When they say, Lord, send them away, they don't have anything to eat. He said, we're going to feed them. Matter of fact, he didn't say we. He said, you're going to feed them. I said, we don't have anything to do. We'd have to work 6 months to have enough money to feed these people. And Jesus' words, go bring the little resource you see, bring it to me. He prayed, he blessed it, gave it to them, told them, organize the people, give it out. What did he do? He worked a miracle. He's the same man that says, foxes have holes. I don't even have anywhere to lay my head. So you know what? Our thinking has to shift. Our thinking concerning our purpose, our thinking concerning resources, our thinking concerning whatever, it has to shift because we think a way that doesn't always lead to blessing. Sometimes our thinking is leading to destruction because we're doing ways that seem right to us and not necessarily the way that God says. So yesterday, when I'm speaking to a group, I'm obeying God, but I'm still having to filter my obedience with what seems right. In my head, it's like, wow, maybe I need to say something different. These people are not responding to what I'm telling them. These people are not responding. I need to change what I'm saying. I need to say something different. I need to get something out of these people. No, obey. It's a way that seems right, Derry. Don't do what seems right right now. Obey. Obedience is always going to be better than sacrifice. So potential is hidden abilities. You have abilities that you haven't seen yet. You have abilities that you don't look like yet because you're a seed. Because you're a seed, you don't look like what you can become, but you have to be a seed in faith and know that if you get into the right ground, and where's the right ground? The right ground is going to be where God puts you. Do you know there's some seeds that'll grow in sand? The right seed will grow in a bad place. I went to work for this organization, and after I was there for a little while, somebody said, oh, wow, you know, you got the worst boss. I said, you have the absolute worst boss. Do you know that your boss is the hatchet person for this organization? I said, no, I didn't know that. So I went to my boss's office, and I told them, we were having our general meeting. I said, they were telling me what they want, their expectations. And I was sitting there, and the Holy Spirit gave me a word. He said, your job is to make her look good. So I told her, I said, I'm going to tell you this, and I'm going to stick to it as long as I'm here. My job is to make you look good. She goes. And so for the next 7 years that I worked for her, that's what I did. I took every chance to make her look good. I did everything I could to make her look good, and she flourished. And then she decided she wasn't going to listen to me. And it came down. Why? Because it wasn't me. She was getting blessed because of things I was getting from God to give to her because I'm a seed. I'm a seed, and if I'm planted, then I will bring forth life. I will bring forth life. You are a seed, and when you're planted, you will bring forth life. You just have to be bold enough to recognize that you bring forth life, and when you tell people things, that you can say it with boldness and not say it with religion. People come into my office all the time, want answers to stuff, and I quote the book of Proverbs to them, and they go, wow, that was great. Where'd that come from? I said, the Bible, man. They're like, wow, where did that come from? I said, it's an ancient proverb. Yes, it's an ancient proverb. But you have to be bold enough to know that you've been given a potential from God to become an answer. You have an answer for whatever issues are going on. You have been given the godly answer. Let me accelerate this here. I want to get a couple things. Last thing, power. So we got purpose, potential, we got power. We read last week, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me. And when people started making the issue of the Holy Spirit about, we made it about dancing, we made it about shouting, we made it about tongues, we made it about everything else. And guess what? The Holy Spirit comes on and people do speak with tongues. Yes, absolutely. Praise the Lord, I can speak with tongues. Not because it's an ability, because that's what the Holy Spirit put in me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit can get on you, you can feel excited, and you can just want to dance. Praise the Lord. You may want to shout, sing. Praise the Lord. But even more important than that, when you go through the whole Old Testament, whenever the Holy Spirit came upon people, it didn't make them shout, dance, and sing. What it did is empower them to do something specific. They were empowered to do something. No matter what it was, whatever God's purpose was, God took the purpose and the potential of the individual, and he gave them power, and they accomplished things. God took Moses, who should have grown up as a slave, but instead grew up in the house of Pharaoh. And the amazing thing is, he still knew his family. And he grows up in the house of Pharaoh as the son of Pharaoh's daughter, which means that the other heirs are all growing up together with the Hebrew Moses. So Moses should have been killed, but he wasn't. And he wasn't killed because he had a purpose. Even when they wanted to kill all the little boys, there was a genocide that happened. The Egyptians looked at how many Hebrews there were and said, it's going to be pretty soon more of them than there are of us, and they're slaves. So, matter of fact, what we're going to do, we're going to kill off the boys under this age to wipe it out so that they don't overwhelm us. Moses was supposed to be one of those boys. But because he has a purpose, God divinely protects him, and God allows him to become not only one of the Hebrews, but he allows him to grow up in Pharaoh's house. He grows up with all the wisdom, all the understanding, all the training that Pharaohs receive, so that by the time he has gotten chased out and comes back, his peer, who he grew up with, is now in charge. How great is God? How does God look at potential? How does God look at your purpose? He's just another slave. He's born another slave, but he's not another slave. Why? Because he's got a purpose. But guess what? So do the rest of his family. All of us have a purpose. We all have a purpose. There is a purpose assigned to your life. We sometimes feel like we're drifting through life and we're making decisions, but you know what? God has a purpose for your life. God has a purpose for your life. I didn't see this being my purpose. And guess what? It's really not. Being a pastor is not my purpose. My purpose is to love, to live, and to teach people what I know. That's my purpose. And out of love, I can teach. Because I don't have to make it about me. I can make it about what can I pour out. What has God taught me that I can pour out to somebody else? So my tools that I've been given to love is a tool to teach. And so that's what I do. But there are other people who have other tools. And the expression of their love and this expression of their purpose happens through the medium of their tools, but the tool is not the purpose. Hammers don't build houses. You understand what I'm saying? Hammers don't build houses. Carpenters build houses, but carpenters use hammers. Never mistake your gifts for your purpose. Your gifts are tools to do what you've been called to do, but your gifts are not you, and your gifts don't define you. Because otherwise, some person can be gifted in one way and look down on somebody else, which is what we tend to do. But God has ordained that every gift be jointly fit together to accomplish the potential that can only be accomplished when a group of people come together and not just an individual. We celebrate Mark Zuckerberg as the face of Facebook. But Mark Zuckerberg did not develop the technology. And he's not the person who's doing the program right now. He's got a group of people with a shared vision and complementary gifts that come together for a purpose to accomplish things. But the problem is, if you get a group of people together and we view our purpose as our individual actions rather than we have a purpose to bring things to pass or cause things to happen or fulfill something or express love or express, then we pull apart rather than pulling together. So the understanding is that God has ordained all of us to be jointly fit together. And when we are jointly fit together, God will then empower us or anoint us to fulfill the Holy Spirit's mission and vision and purpose and potential for us. So, last thing I want you to look at really quickly, and we're going to close. Actually, I won't even have you turn there. I'll actually talk about it. The prophet Daniel. We hear about Daniel, and we hear a lot of conversation about Daniel. We hear about him. But Daniel was taken as a slave. Theme throughout the Bible. People abducted, taken as slaves. Daniel and a group of people who were nobles are taken out of Israel by the Babylonians, brought to Babylon, and made slaves. At the time, Daniel's a young man, and him and a group of young men all are brought, and the Babylonian process of making slaves was to identify the best and the brightest and bring them to Babylon and train them, assimilate them, assimilate them into Babylonian society. So that's their goal. That's their process. So they bring Daniel and his friends, they make them slaves, and they begin training them. And so Daniel looks and realizes, you know what? We can't forget the Lord. We've been taken slaves, but we can't forget God. So they went to the jailer and said, listen, we know you want to feed us certain things, and you know we've got this routine, but do us a favor. Just let us do what we do. Just give us vegetables and water for 10 days, and then you can test us and see if we're not fatter and stronger than everybody else. So what was he doing here? He's recognizing that he's a seed of God, and he's not allowing himself to be shaped into Babylonian culture. I'm here in Babylon. I'm going to do what I need to do here at Babylon, but I'm not going to allow Babylon to shape who I am. And even as a young man, he understands, I'm not going to let Babylon shape me. So they put it to the test. The jailer tests them, allows them, him and his three friends, partnership together. He allows them to do their fast that we refer to as a Daniel fast. They did it for 10 days, and they were tested. And indeed, they were smarter, stronger, faster, more intelligent than everyone else. And they continued that. They were allowed to continue that. Why? For this reason, when you recognize who you are, when you recognize your potential and the potential of people around you, and when you begin to operate in the power that God makes available to you, Babylon will listen to you. Amen. See, the jailer didn't have, he's the jailer, they're slaves. You don't have no rights here. Who are you going to tell me what you're going to eat? No, you can eat what I serve. No. He said, no, do this. Do it and test us. See? When they got results, he backed up all the way and let them do it. Why? Because When you start operating in what you're called to operate, and when you start recognizing your potential and moving in your potential, and when you start using the power of God or letting the power of God flow through you, Babylon will listen. Pharaoh will listen. Pharaoh looks at Moses and says, you know what, Moses? You and I grew up together. I know you got ran out of town. And now you're going to come tell me to let 1.5 million people who are slaves building stuff for us, you want me to just let them go? And by the way, you smell like sheep. Why are you in here? Let them go? Well, he wouldn't have. But when we are in our position and we do a call to do, even Pharaoh, whose heart is turned toward you, he will listen. My boss, who was the hatchet person, she listened. The reason she listened is because she starts seeing God's wisdom working when natural wisdom wouldn't. She was a witness to when I got a phone call from the CEO of the organization with no prompting from anybody else and told me he's taking me, he's moving me to another job today. Not through an interview process. This is a civil service agent. Not through any process, nothing. No, you're moving today. But I'm conducting interviews. I don't care. We'll get somebody else to do that. You're moving today. And she was my boss when it happened. And we talked about it. And I told her, I said, all I can, it has to be the favor of God. She said, well, you know, I don't want to believe that. I know you don't want to believe it, but excuse me while I get my box. You don't have to listen. You don't have to, you don't have to worry about it. It's no problem. You can meditate on it while I take my box and move upstairs. Praise the Lord. All right, let's lock this down. Church, be prepared to pray and ask God those questions. My purpose, what's the potential of those around me? And what power do you want to reveal to me? Be prepared to ask those questions. But this is what the Lord told me when Peggy sent me this information. I was getting ready to just like it, and the Lord said, no. He said, get your faith right before you ask me. Because when you ask me, I'm going to answer. But you're going to have to be ready for what I say. See, I've been saying it before. There's a season coming where when we believe on God, we're going to have to be prepared to not be normal. Okay? We're going to have to be prepared to not be normal. Because God's going to show us stuff that won't make sense. Not that it's not logical, it won't make sense. In other words, there'll be a lot of excuses as to why. There's a lot of excuses why you shouldn't do a lot of things. There's a lot of excuses why I was 23 years old and I said, I want to get married. What? How long you known her? 6 months. A lot of reasons why not to do that. But 29 years later, it was God. See, there's always going to be a lot of reasons. When God shows you something, you have to be ready to move on it when God says it. And not postpone, not wait, not meditate, not think about it. No, when God says it, you need to be ready to move with it. Because when God speaks, God will fulfill his promise. That doesn't mean it's not going to be battles with it. Doesn't mean it's not going to be struggles with it. Doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. You're going to have to stand in Pharaoh's face and say, God said, let him go. And you might have to go through 10 different trials to get to the point where he actually lets them go. But if you don't quit, he will let them go. And he's going to let the stuff go in your life that's being held back right now. Some of us have stuff being held back, hold all the way. Let's stand on our feet. We're going to pray really quickly here. Some of you have stuff that the enemy has been holding and restricting you from and pushing you back and telling you you're never going to have, give, or possess. But today's a different day. Today's a different day. In the book of Luke, Jesus was giving a parable, and he said, everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds. He who knocks, it's open to them. He said that at the end of a dialogue in which he gave a description of a man who had been knocking on his neighbor's door, and the neighbor wouldn't answer because it was the middle of the night. And the guy's knocking on his door asking for bread, and he said, I can't come out. My kids are in the bed. The guy keeps knocking. He said, I can't come out, man. The door is locked. We're shut. We shut down for the night. Can't come out. He keeps on knocking, and it says this. Jesus said he wouldn't open it because it was his friend, but he opened it because of his persistence, because he wouldn't quit. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of unseen things. When you know God has spoken, when you know God has given you purpose, the very first three purposes that we talked about that God has given us is the purpose of love. We know how to love, that we love, that we allow God's Spirit to give us a power to love people no matter what. And then we know that God's given us the power to, Lord, to share the truth of what we've received. Not truth of theoretical stuff, but what is the truth that you're living out? What is the truth in your life that's working, that's operating, that's real? What can people see manifested in your life? We know that God's called us to manifest his glory, to allow people the opportunity to not just hear, but to behold with their own eyes. So, Father, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for the people that are here. We thank you that everyone here that had an ear to hear, that the Spirit would continue to move. We thank you that those who have not yet in that place to hear, Lord, we thank you that the word would follow them. Not my words, but the word of God would follow them, Lord, and allow them the opportunity for that seed to grow at the right time, at harvest time. We thank you that if anyone's here today and they've never given their life to the Lord and they want to make that dedication, Lord, that you open their hearts and minds to be receptive to that reality today. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.